Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Not a lot of people today say they miss the days of Sefa Lufau. And I love that guy, but nobody's longing for those days anymore with what happened for the Colorado Buffaloes over the weekend. Brian Howell joining us. He is our Buffs insider with Buff Zone. Brian, let me ask you this before we break into the game. Has covering the Colorado Buffaloes, in particular, Coach Prime, is it more difficult now than it used to be when you covered the Buffs?
Oh, yeah, no question. it's a way different job. And I will say real quick, I do miss Sefa Lufau. He's one of my favorite Buffs ever.
He's a good dude. Yeah.
So, yeah, and that 2016 team was awesome. But, yeah, it's way different. I mean, he's just a different head coach. You know, he's not going to talk as much as other head coaches have talked in the past. And, you know, and frankly, there's a lot more media around covering him. And so, you know, press conferences might have been, you know, I just left a weekly press conference with Dion. And, you know, in the past, I might have asked five or six questions. Well, this one, you get one and maybe a second one. And so it's very different. And then obviously all the requests and everything that, you know, I mean, there's radio appearances and things like that all around the country that people, they want to talk to anybody about Coach Prime. And so it's way different.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I feel for you, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you and another reporter, Ed Werder, you guys have been called out now. I mean, tell me honestly, Brian, like, is there a genuine fear? And I'm not saying you're scared of the guy, but nobody wants to get embarrassed in front of their peers and stuff. When you're writing now, when you're covering this team, I mean, are you thinking about, uh-oh, what if Prime sees this? Is he going to call me out in the press conference?
Yes and no. I mean, you can't let it change your job, you know. But I always try to be fair and objective anyway. And so I feel like if I'm that, you know, and I'm not attacking them, then I should be okay, you know. And,
sure.
You know, I think what it does more than anything is it probably makes me think a little bit more before I ask a question about how do I word this so that it's not going to, you know, set him off somehow or, you know, so it doesn't imply something. And even then, you just never know. And so you have to be a little bit careful with it, but, you know, it makes it very interesting and keeps you on your toes.
Brian, was it Neil that asked? I don't know when this was, but I just came across the video that asked about the backup quarterback. And this was a while ago, I think, right? And Primetime was upset by that because he's like, we have our – but the question was like, no, how do you feel just as far as the backups? We know you have your starter, but how do you feel with the backups? And Primetime hated that question.
Yeah, it's actually Pat Rooney.
Pat Rooney.
At the Daily Camera. And yeah, that's a perfect example of like, you know, that's a perfectly fine question. There's nothing
right
in there, but, you know, Dion cut him off right in the middle of it and, you know, said, what do you mean we're set at quarterback? Like, kind of like thinking that Pat's implying he's only the starting quarterback because he's his son, but that's not what Pat meant at all.
No. So, no.
You know, it's clear that they're set at quarterback, right? With Shedeur Sanders. And so, yeah, it's even things like that. You just never know that. You know, you could have the most normal question and all of a sudden, you know, that sets him off. But clearly he came into the post game the other day. You know, he walked up to as he was walking up to his seat, he's like, I got my receipts. I got plenty of receipts, you know. So he went into that press conference, you know, ready to kind of pounce and, you know, have that us against the world mentality.
Which is so strange to me because I've certainly seen people against them, but I've seen a lot of people all in on this. A lot of national media too. I don't get this idea of nobody believed in the Buffs. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that did. Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Well, what was it that Ed Werder, we're trying to get him on tomorrow. What was it that he said or wrote that you know made Dion so mad?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I will say first off, you know, the reason why I think they have that mentality is I agree with you. I think for the most part, people are behind them. But I think it's 100% about Dion motivating his team. And if there's 9 out of 10 people that say they're great, mm-hmm. but there's one that's going to tell them they're terrible, he's going to latch onto that one and say, look what they think of you.
Yeah.
You know, and to motivate his team. But on Ed Werder, I do know that in the spring, he tweeted out some of the impact, the financial impact and stuff. And he said Colorado celebrity head coach. have heard that he hates being called celebrity head coach because it implies that he can't coach and he's just a celebrity. And so I don't know if it's that. There's also the fact that, you know, Ed Werder is down in Dallas. He covered Deion with the Cowboys. And so those guys have a history that goes back to the Deion's playing days. So it could be some of that as well.
Yeah, interesting there. Speaking of the coach side of it, Brian, how much of the coaching aspect does Primetime do? Now, we know he's the motivator. We know he's the guy that's getting the recruits. He's the beacon that everybody's flocking to right now. As far as calling the game and such, the X's and O's, what does that look like on game day?
As far as I know, he lets the coordinators call the games, but he's going to, like a lot of head coaches, he's going to be the one that, if it's fourth and two, he's the one that says, let's go for it. What play do you got? You know, and he'll make those big decisions, whereas it's really Sean Lewis and Charles Kelly making the actual play call. And I think that's the way he likes to operate, is let my coaches coach, but then he handles the big decisions.
Brian Howell joining us from the Buff Zone. He's our Buffs insider. And again, dude, my respect for you just keeps going up because I've always been a fan of yours. I've always read your stuff. But now it's an interesting territory covering this team. Entertaining for sure. But now, I mean, you're getting followers left and right. You're getting views probably unlike anything you've ever done before. And you're a guy that wrote some amazing books, too. I mean, the Broncos book that you wrote, the Buffs book that you wrote, you're top-notch. But now, I mean, my goodness, it's probably going crazy for you.
Well, I appreciate it. And yeah, it's insane just to see, you know, what this has done. And, you know, I had a video. All I did was film Shadur's post-game press conference the other day. I did all of them, but Shadur's has blown up on my YouTube, like almost 20 times more views than I've ever had on another video. I gained thousands Saturday on my YouTube channel. It's like, this is crazy, you know, to see. I mean, there's literally, it's approaching, well, it's almost 800,000 views on that Shadur video, you know, and like,
yeah,
like really, you know, like, huh, all right. And so it's insane.
It's just absolutely wild. It is, no question about it. But, okay, as far as looking at this roster, speaking of Shadur, I mean, I had a lot of guys on my list for Player of the Week. I do a Player of the Week each and every week, thanks to our friends at Zvi Brewing. And it was, you know, I did throw in Wyoming's quarterback, Peasley. He had a gritty performance. But it was Shadur, Dylan Edwards, and, of course, Travis Hunter. And it came down to, ultimately, Travis Hunter. But, my goodness, there was some firepower over the weekend. And what Travis Hunter did to play that many snaps at that level is phenomenal.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like it. And, I mean, we've seen guys like, you know, Champ Bailey, when he was in Georgia, you know, played a lot of offense and obviously, you know, was a great corner, but not quite like what Travis Hunter is doing, playing almost every snap. And so can he do it for 12 games? I have no idea. Can he do it for five? I have no idea. I mean, I remember a few years ago we would talk about, you know, man, do they need to give LaVisca rest? You know, do they need to rest him a little bit and not use him so much? And he was only playing offense. You know, so now we're sitting here with Travis Hunter. You know, he's playing almost every snap on both sides of the ball. So the guy's in phenomenal shape, and we'll see how long he can last.
Yeah, and going on the quarterback side of things with Shadur, I mean, obviously we knew he was talented. The questions are, you know, surrounding primetime and this roster, the questions were, can they do it at this level? And I don't think you are a bad person or an anti-Buffs guy or an anti-primetime guy to ask that question. Well, Shadur answered some questions on Saturday. Man, he definitely looked the part. So much so, Brian, I'm already like dreaming of him wearing blue and orange for the Broncos someday. I'm all in.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, let's keep him in Colorado, right?
Yes.
But, you know, like I understand their side of it, that, you know, this is what they've done. They know nothing but success. And so I can see where they get offended, like, you know, well, of course we can make the jump. But from our side of it, you know, and covering this team, I don't know how many guys I've seen that have made the, quote, jump from the JUCO levels or FCS or whatever, or even a Power 5 school where they weren't playing much and then tried to come here and be a starter, and they struggled, you know, and it was a big adjustment. And there's a lot of guys, I mean, it's countless that, you know, JUCO guys that were not very good their first year. You know, Mekhi Blackman, who was just drafted this spring by the Vikings, obviously finished his career at USC. When he first got to CU as a JUCO transfer, couldn't get on the field. And then it was midway through that first year where they needed him out there. And then by the time he left CU, he was a pretty darn good corner. And now he's in the NFL. So we've seen that with a lot of guys. It's just, you know, by Shadur standards and Deion standards, they're like, well, what are you talking about? Of course we'll be fine. It's just football.
It's something we've never seen, Brian. So many interesting storylines surrounding this team. Prime time, for better or worse, on the field, probably for better as far as how he treats or handles the media, maybe for worse. But either way, he is changing college football. It's got me asking questions like, is that the play now? Do teams start looking at former player slash celebrity? I know we don't like to use that word, but like a guy like Peyton Manning, Tim Tebow, like those kind of guys, do you look at it and go, how do I get a really attractive guy in here that can bring in big-time recruits? Is that going to be a new way of doing things in college football?
I would say no, because I think there's only one Deion Sanders. And, you know, you even saw, I think it was Bethune-Cookman tried to do that with Ed Reed. This spring, and he was there for a couple of weeks, and then there was an incident, and he got let go. And so, you know, and I don't know if that was fair or not for that, but I just think there's only one Deion Sanders, and you know, I'm not sure you can actually duplicate this. I think it's a one-off thing that you just enjoy the show, and Taylor Swift just recently came through here. There's not another Taylor Swift, right? You can't just say, oh, let's just go find somebody like her, and we'll fill up stadiums. No. He's different, right?
Yeah.
Deion Sanders is different.
He is, and there's so many things that he just does in such a way. The way he markets himself, the way he talks, even if you don't agree with what he's saying, the way he presents, and that resonates with today's college football player. Really does. Every time now when I see him, I saw a TCU player hugging him at the end of the game, Brian. I'm like, oh, he'll be in CU next year. Like he'll be a Buff. Like you just if he gets a hold of him. They're going to be a Buff. He has that personality.
Yeah, and that player, I think that was a player I talked to in Big 12 Media Days, plays corner, and you know said he was a big Deion fan growing up. So wasn't surprised to see that. But certainly there's that magnetism, right? And that you know guys, especially if they win, I think that there's some recruits that are kind of looking at this before the season and saying, yeah, I'd like to play there, but are they actually going to win? If they actually win now all of a sudden I can't imagine the floodgates that open on in recruiting. I think it could be insane.
Yeah, I do too. Huge weekend coming up. It's hate week. We got Broncos, Raiders. We've got Buffs, Cornhuskers. Now, I was a little shocked by this with CU only after that performance being favored only by 3.5, especially after seeing Nebraska lose to Minnesota with a very stagnant offense. Shocked by that line at all, Brian? Or is that the wise guy saying, hold up a second, TCU might not be that team, so let's hang on a minute?
Well, I think if you just look at that line right now, you could be shocked by it. But then if you consider the fact that, you know, a week ago at this time, Nebraska was favored by 7, and you see the line moved by almost 11 points just off of last week's results, then you can say, all right, well, that makes sense. You know, that's a pretty big shift just based off of 1 week of results. And
sure.
I think it's probably fitting. And hey, I don't know what to expect this week. You know, Nebraska now has film on the Buffs, which nobody had film before. So Colorado's got to adjust. And they didn't play good defense, so they're going to have to play much better defensively. So it could be another shootout.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, you're still kind of trying to learn about this team more. Yes, they get a monster win over TCU. It's a very bright spot now already under Coach Prime, but maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. There's still a lot to learn about this Colorado Buffaloes team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they gave up 42 points over 500 yards the other day, and on special teams, Deion himself called it horrendous, their special teams the other day. So really, they played one good phase. It was really good, but they were really good on one side of the ball, and the others they kind of made up for it. So you can't play defense like that every week and expect to win a lot. So they're going to have to get better defensively, and I am curious to see what teams do once they now have some film on this Buffs team. And, you know, Nebraska, I mean, Matt Rhule is a really good coach, and he was an NFL head coach. He's going to dial up some things that will probably try to make things a little more difficult for CU.
Well, I'm excited for that game. Looking forward. They're the talk of the town. Like I said, Brian, I know the Broncos are playing Sunday, but this state belongs to the Colorado Buffaloes right now. Would you agree, or is it, I mean, at least for the week?
I think the sports world belongs to the Buffaloes.
I think you're right.
I mean, nationally, you look at all the shows yesterday, they're all talking about Colorado, and I had people text me like, this is surreal. Like, First Take is breaking down plays by the Buffaloes. you know, ESPN's breaking down actual plays and, like, talking about Dylan Edwards and guys like that. Like, this is surreal. So, yeah, I mean, they're the talk of the nation right now, and I think it's crazy. I can't imagine what Saturday is going to be like. It might be one of the wildest games I've ever covered.
Oh, man. Well, Brian, enjoy it. Thanks for all you do. Continue, and I think your job is vital. I do, more so than ever before, because when you get programs and coaches and such, you know, kind of wanting to control the narrative, you know, asking guys if they believe during press conferences, I think what you're doing and providing a fair look at this Buffs team is more important than ever. So keep up the great work, my friend.
I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Brian Howell with the Buff Zone. I stand by that, Angel. It's more important than ever. Brian is not a guy that's going to tell you everything's great. He just told us right there, defense is suspect, you know, and there could be, this could be a shootout. This could be a close game. He's fair, and I do really appreciate that. ESPN, check this out, Angel. Has the Buffs at the line -3.5? But their matchup predictor, 58.7% saying Nebraska is going to win. Doesn't make any sense to me. How does that work, Angel? Make it make sense, man. It's like Clemson being, are they? No, they're at 25 now, aren't they?
Well, I mean, that same matchup predictor had the Buffs like a 2.8% chance to win on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go off that pie
chart. No, I think it's weird. Is Clemson 25?
Yes.
Hung in there. They're not a top 25 team in the country.
No. LSU, I think they dropped six or nine spots after their loss.
Wow.
Makes me feel good.
I mean, where's Duke? Did Duke move up?
Duke got into 21 or 22. Them and CU are like right next to each other.
Yeah, because, well, you've got the 4 million polls, but the AP poll has CU at 22.
Mm-hmm.
The AFCA coaches poll has CU at 25. So, do with that what you will. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.